kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Welcome, everyone. Good to see the saints coming into the room. And I trust you've all had a blessed week. And it's good to be together in fellowship. Praise God. Well, I have something for us to share and talk on today. And we're calling this teaching, Finding Food in a Famine. Finding Food in a famine. I think we're all very much of the opinion in our observations that everything is being shaken. Nothing is the same. You even hear this in the world, you hear it in the news, in the family. Everything is changed, it's all different, it's not the same. And these are all clear signs of the near coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But through this shaking, we're also finding that there are other things as well. And there is also a famine of hearing the Word of God. And we know this, we've looked at this before, but we're going to consider this again today in the book of Amos. In the book of Amos, we're looking at chapter 8 and those famous verses that are known well in verse 11 and 12 of the book of Amos. And in this it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Now, as we look into this, Amos is an interesting word. His name in the Hebrew root word means Amas. And it means to lift a burden or to carry. And he was known as a burden bearer. And like many of the ancient prophets, they bore those burdens. They knew that they were called of God to go and speak to the people. Very often, they're not going to hear, but still they learnt to be obedient to the Lord. And this word Amas, translated in the Greek, as we know it now in the English, means the name Amos. Now, Amos was, as we know, was a farmer, and God called him as a prophet. And he's called during the time where Israel is doing well. It's flourishing. But the problem is, like all of these things, it's replacing worship to false security. And that often happens in time of blessings, when we're flourishing, when we're doing well, we can so easily lose sight of true worship unto God. And this, of course, what was happening with Israel. And so this prophet is called, and he's warned, and God has warned of drought, a plague that's looming, but they take no notice. They're not listening to the warning signs. And so he prophesies and he says, there's going to come a plague a warning where you're not going to be able to hear any longer because you are so caught up in blessing, in prosperity, that you no longer hear any longer the word of God. And I think we are finding similar situations in these days now. Even though God is warning, even though he's shaking the heavens and the earth, everything is shaking. But man, through this, is still not listening. Even a lot of professing Christians are still not listening to the signs and the times and what we're seeing and what we're hearing. Are we really listening in the heart? That is the question that we're raising today. Let me turn to something we know so familiar, but I so often turn to this church in the book of Revelation, the Philadelphian church that we know so well in chapter 3 of Revelation and verse 8. Let's just read what he says here. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Now there is a type of the deeper life, the calling. We have shown you many, many times that to go deeper with God, you go through this door. And we have shown that this door into the kingdom of God is set in the church, in the body of Christ. It is set by the anointing, by the teaching, and by the preaching. That door is there, and he says, I have set before you an open door. Notice the door is open, just like that door into the ark that God kept open until he finally shut it and those souls were secure. When the flood came, we see these types running through history. And here we are again, seeing this again. This open door, and of course this open door typifies the Lord. He says, you cannot come to the Father except through me. I am the doorway, the access to your heavenly Father. And so he says, not only do you go through this door, he says that nobody will shut this door. So there is the mercy, the promise of God. Not one demon, not the very devil himself, can stop this word from being preached, this word from going forth. All the while, this door is open. And we have shown that this door is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he says, for you have little strength, you've kept my word and have not denied my name. And that is the key to this. And that is why I have said over the years, keep coming, keep listening. For faith comes by hearing the word of God. Keep coming under this anointing. He is the doorway through to the deeper life. He has come to protect, to preserve this remnant that he has for these last days. Note what he says in verse 10 of chapter 3. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial that shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So God says he's going to test the earth. He's going to test Christians. And he's going to test whether they are genuine, whether they love God's word and have kept his word, and he's going to test them, and by the mark of the beast that will be enforced. There they will have a decision. Thank God in his mercy and grace that he comes for the church, the overcomers, before that happens. And he says, you have persevered, you have stayed with it, even though you have little strength. But you kept with my word, and he says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that shall come upon the earth. In other words, because you have persevered, because you have been faithful, I will be faithful with you also. There is the love and grace and mercy of God, is it not? Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Hallelujah. So, there's a famine in the lands. And it's a famine of hearing this word. And the famine is caused by complacency. What need do I have of the word of God? I believe in Jesus. Isn't that enough? I go to church on Sunday and so on. What is all this business about persevering, overcoming, and so on? Well, it's about relationship. And in relationships, you are faithful. In relationships, you are prepared to go that extra mile. In relationships, you forgive. You turn the other cheek, and so on. That's what it means. And because the love of many is waxing cold, they don't understand what it means to be faithful, to persevere, to stay with it in whatever situation, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's in a job or whether it's with friends or the church you're identified with or whatever it would be. We are challenged with these things. And of course, we know that the love of many is waxing cold, and all of these things are secondary these days. If you don't like it, if you don't get on with it, well, move on and go somewhere else, or find somewhere else, or go on to another partner, and whatever it is. That's the motto, the motive of today. Completely contrary to the faithfulness of Almighty God, which is working within us, and so on. Hallelujah. So he says, you have persevered, which means he's preserved us to go on. And that's why God preserves us in every situation. You see, if God doesn't preserve us, the enemy will destroy us. But we're preserved in order to overcome, to keep with it, to be faithful. That's why he's preserving us, because none of us will be here otherwise. And we're here because there's a famine in the land. We're here because God has put that affection within our heart for this spiritual food, to believe, to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, most of us, particularly in this country, although it is changing, but we're all doing reasonably well. None of us are starving. None of us are without clothes on our back. And we have all our technologies. We have all our amenities and so on. So what need do you have of the word of God? Most are reasonably comfortable, but of course that is beginning to change. And we're finding in this country, we're moving into bad recession. Now, could that be the mercy of God over this country to get the attention of people, or some of them, when they find that they can't get their luxuries that they once had? That they're really having to believe and trust to get the next meal on their table? Could that be the mercy and grace of God to use that in which to show this country its need for the Word of God? Because the Word of God was preached centuries back. And look at the state of this nation now. This could be God's final mercy before he comes. We don't know. But things are rapidly changing in this country and throughout the world. You see, the Lord is showing that there is going to come great opposition. There is going to come this great leader who's going to deceive the whole world. And the world is getting ready for someone to deceive them, because they're disillusioned with their politicians. They're despondent with their country and the vice and the corruption and the violence. They're all looking for something, for change. But they're not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why the Antichrist will come with all those answers, bringing peace, peace, peace. But Jesus said, then will come sudden destruction. They don't want to hear that judgment is coming. They don't want to hear that God is going to establish righteousness when he comes to rule and reign. Man wants prosperity and he wants to continue to live in his sin, doing his own thing. And that is coming to an end, brothers and sisters. And this is why the world is in chaos and confusion. We've got false prophets, false heresy and teachers, all trying to say their thing, but not the word of God and what God's word is saying. All giving promises of escaping trial and judgment and everything. But we have heard what the word of God says, that to make it into the kingdom of God, you must go through much trial and tribulation. That's why you don't hear many preach that today. And that's why we have little strength. Because look what God can do with those who have little strength. Because it means when they have little strength, they're not getting in the way of God and what he wants to do. Those of great strength are of no use because they want to be in control. And there is the difference. What does 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 tell us? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So listen to what he says here. The temptation, the trial, the burden, God says he uses that to deliver you, to set you free, to heal you. Your very weaknesses, He says he uses that. That's why he says to the Philadelphian church, you have little strength, but he says, watch what I will do with that little strength. You will be strengthened in me. And it's the same principle here. That's why he says no temptation overtakes you, even with little strength, because he says, I use it. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. He's using every situation in your life. Yes, even weaknesses. Yes, even if you sin this week. God says, I will use it as that way of escape, healing and deliverance. That's why we love our Heavenly Father. That's why we love him, for his mercy and grace. Because he first loved me. It eats into you. It changes you. It burns in the heart. Because we're weak, we're ineffectual, we've sinned, and yet he still loves us. And not only that, he uses my circumstances. He uses the things that have plagued and held me down as my way of escape and healing. That's what it's saying. That's why the Philadelphian church finds favor in his sight, because they're humble. They bow the knee. They're not trying to be clever. No way. We've learned that we can't make it into God's kingdom. It is by his grace and mercy. But there are a lot of professing Christians who don't think like that. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16? Hebrews 4 and verse 16. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the weak, the lowly are the ones who can come boldly before God, because their faith is utterly, completely in him and on him. They look to no other, because there is no other. You can't look to man. You can't look to technology, all those false securities that are in life. You can't look to that. We come boldly to him and him alone. And God works this, doesn't he, in us? And how many hear this? Few. Let me remind you again what Amos says. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Are you hearing the words of the Lord? Then praise God. He has had mercy on you. And so often, when you hear the words of the Lord, it's got your name and address on it. You hear the words of the Lord, you think in your flesh, what chance do I have? But the grace is there. And God says, I will use your weaknesses. I will use what you're battling with. I will use what you're doubting and so on. And I will turn it together for good. Hallelujah. Because all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, of course, we don't abuse or misuse this. The same as we don't abuse grace. That unmerited favour of God. But we can't change. There's only one who can change us, And that's the Lord himself. That's the way we come. You cannot pretend. You came to the Lord with all that baggage on you. And he's the only one who can take that and lift that. That's why he says, come to me, all that labour and are heavy laden. That one word, come. So, with Amos then, when he says in verse 11, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. What are people's ideas then of a famine? Well, Amos is showing us quite clearly, this is the worst famine. This is the worst kind of famine. You think that famine of on the land, of eating bread or not having water, that's pretty bad. Trust me, if ever you go to a country or parts of Africa where they have famine or where they have no water for years, that's pretty bad. But he says, this famine is going to be even worse. And why? Because it's hearing the word of God. The nature of this famine isn't food, but it's hearing. In other words, it means you are deaf. He's saying you're not able to hear. You're not able to understand the revelations because they can't see, they can't hear. This is what he's saying. Now that is scary, isn't it? And what Amos is also saying, he's saying it's not a problem with the preacher or the teacher. The problem is the hearing. That is the problem. And we need to inquire of God, Lord, are you saying this is my problem? Am I not still hearing as I should be? Have mercy. None of us can be complacent. Not even me, who's preaching this. I have asked that question before Almighty God. Because I take none of these things for granted. It is the grace and mercy of God. Am I hearing, Lord? What does it say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, we welcomed it not as the word of men, but it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And that is why you have to release faith when you hear the word of God. And that's what the apostle is saying here. He says that you received this word of God, which you heard, which we gave you, in other words. You welcomed it with open arms, because it wasn't the word of man. It was the word of God. It was truth, he's saying. And he says that this effectively works in you for the purpose of believing. Did you know that when you hear this, the word, it is for the purpose of believing? That is what it's doing. It's working in you and I to believe. That's the nature of this two-edged sword. We still haven't fully grasped how important it is to believe. To trust him, because without faith it is impossible to please God. And this is what the apostle is reminding them through their conversion. In many ways, this is what a preacher and teacher should do, that they should continue to remind God's people that what they're hearing is for them to believe. That's the power of the word. That is its nature. That is why it is a two-edged sword that cuts and divides asunder soul, spirit, joints, marrow. It's planting into the heart. It depends what the soil conditions are. You can't plant seed in soil that is hard, barren, dry. It has to be worked upon in which that seed is sown. And that is what God does with us. And this is why I say keep coming. Keep coming to these meetings. Because God works on the heart, the soil, working on it so that seed can be planted. Any farmer has to work on the soil. You can't just sow seed. It has to be nurtured and fed and watered. Because that seed is precious that is planted. And it can easily die. And so there's the spiritual analogy, is it not? And of course we know this from the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. What does Mark 4 say? The book of Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Mark 4 and verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed that you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. To you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So what is the stress here? It's how you hear. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he says, take heed what you hear. And he says, with that measure of what you hear, you will be blessed with. But to those, he's saying, who don't do anything with that which they hear, and what little they have heard will be taken away. So God is very strong, very strict on how we hear. Even though you have little strength, you can still hear. Because God has chosen you to hear. But you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. And whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And so it comes back to what Amos is saying. This is the famine. The famine is hearing this. And I cannot, as a preacher, stress this enough. And this is why you have to seek God. You have to be open before him with regard to how am I hearing. Because when you push him away, it becomes harder to hear him. Oh, you can read the word. You can confess. You can tell people you're a Christian, but you're not hearing him. And that is the most important thing. It is that hearing that we build our faith. That we have a faith that will stand in these last days because I'm hearing what he's saying to me. I'm hearing what he's saying to the church. That's what he says, doesn't he, to the seven churches. About he that hears what the Spirit says to the church. Why is there such a stress on that? Because Amos says there will be a famine of hearing in the last days. That's why. And faith comes by hearing this word. You see, the Word of God has to draw you closer to the Lord. In actual fact, it does two things. It either draws you closer to the Lord or it causes you to move away further from God. And that's what you have to discern. That is what you have to look at. And the humble who bow the knee before God will know whether they're moving towards God closer or not. Because the humble can discern it. They can see. Because they're asking God, am I drawing closer to you, Lord, or am I going further away? Sometimes we don't know. We can be so caught up in things. We can be so caught up in the world. That's why God wants us delivered from anxiety. Being anxious of the things in this world, anxious about tomorrow and everything, because that causes you to be more concerned and thinking on that than, am I hearing from God? He has to deliver us from all that stuff. For this very purpose that I hear this word, because that is where my faith comes. And do you know anyone who has a strong faith, a brother or sister in the Lord? Well, I can assure you, if you see that, it's because they hear what the Spirit is saying. And they are close with God. And they ask the Lord, am I hearing? Or am I deceiving myself? We can do it so easily. That's why God is humbling us. He won't have this pride in his presence. The word of God is clear. He says he resists the proud, but gives grace and mercy to the humble. When you have pride, you've got the devil on your back. And so you're caught up with all of that rubbish. And that hinders you from hearing from God. And that's why he calls those with little strength. It means when you've got little strength, I've got nothing to rely on. I've got nothing to be proud about. I've got little strength. I don't fit in anywhere. The world rejects me. My family rejects me and everything. That's what it means to be of little strength. And God says, good, I can build through you now. And what does he build? His Son in and through each of us. He gives his strength, his love, his faith, his power. Everything that is in Jesus Christ, he builds in you and I, because we have little strength. And this is what Amos faced in his time with the children of Israel. Flourishing, doing well, but they lacked one thing. They no longer were worshipping God like they did. It may seem, as I close with this, that God doesn't always answer your prayers. Or it may seem as though, well, my brother or sister, they're doing well. It seems as though if they're flourishing, but I don't. Nothing seems to be happening with me. Well, there sometimes can be a reason for that, for a season. God is using that to work his Son, Jesus Christ, into your life, into your heart. That is why we shouldn't take our eyes off the Lord. Always keep your eyes firmly fixed on him. And then you will begin to understand what he's doing and building in your life and my life. Because there is a famine out there. And that famine is that they ain't hearing the word of God as they should. It reminds me of the church where they couldn't hear. They were rich and so on. And they couldn't hear what God was saying. That Laodicean church, neither hot nor cold. It was wealthy. It had everything it wanted. But God said, I challenge you to buy eyeself. Your eyes need to be open. Your ears need to be unblocked. You think you're rich. You think you're right. You're walking with me. You've put prosperity and the abundant life before humility and bowing the knee of God. You see, God blesses and he will bless. That is his nature. That is the Father's heart. But you've got to do it his way. Blessings come God's way, not man's carnal way. And the faith and prosperity that we see so much in Christendom is a result of self, me, I. It's what I want. And that is why the self life has to go to the cross to be dealt with. And then God can entrust you. Then God can bless. You see, my friends, I don't believe you can fully hear unless you take your cross up daily and follow Christ. That cross enables us to hear in this time of famine. Father, we thank you again for your word encouragement. Thank you, Lord, that you know we are weak, ineffectual. We're just a handful. But Lord, you are with us. You are enabling us to hear. And we are very aware of this famine. We see it. We hear it. And Lord, we thank you that you have opened the door, for you are the doorway of which we have gone through. And we are truly grateful for this. And we know that we are being preserved and kept. And you are meeting our every needs. For you said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And we don't have to do any of that, because you richly bless us. And you bless us above all, Father, with your word, that heavenly manna that helps us to stand and believe and endure and remain faithful. And that is what you want, Lord. That is what you have shown us. And so, Lord, thank you for our gathering. Bless my brothers and sisters, and we look forward to our fellowship again on Tuesday. And if not, then we meet one another in the clouds. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus, our Father.